All right. Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to start. Last week we sort of looked at some things in light of enjoying God's grace. What a privilege it is to be able to do that. This morning I wanted to look at some things regarding joy. And it's going to be fun. It's just going to be fun. You know, what we get to do, what we get to be because of what Jesus Christ has done is so awesome. So awesome. There was something I wanted to mention here. I wrote this down earlier. And I think we all realize that the world, it never lacks for providing things to be upset about, concerned about, worried about, even angry about. As a matter of fact, it seems to me that over the recent months, perhaps last couple of years, there's been a rather concerted effort to foster and to build anger among people. But it really does, and then we're going to see this. I'm going to show it to you the best I can. It really does come down to what it is we choose to think about, what it is we choose to look at. Joy is something that every Christian believer should have and manifest. And I'm going to explain that in a little bit. Sometimes that joy looks like just an outward gladness. You're just blessed. You're blessed. You know? But sometimes that joy is that calm, that quiet calm under fire, where you're in the middle of something. And then that joy can look like a quiet determination because of a faithful Father that you know is going to come through. Do you understand that? It's not always giggles and laughter. Sometimes it's just that determination and knowing the God that you serve, the God that you belong to. But it really comes down to what it is we're looking at. And that joy, I mean, God instructs us to have joy, but it is also a fruit of what we've received from God. See? So that's what we're going to look at this morning. But to do that, I wanted to start in Matthew chapter 13. This is a record we're all familiar with, and I'm not going to look at it in great detail, but I just want to point out a couple of things. Matthew 13 and verse 18 is where we're going to start. This is the record of the sower and the seed, the parable. And he's going to explain this. Okay, remember the sower went out and sowed seed. Different types of ground. Verse 18 says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Okay? "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and anon," or immediately, right away, he receives it, or with joy receives it, or receives it with joy. He gets joy from that, you know, that gladness from what he hears. You know, this is great. "Yet," verse 21, "hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while." He stays put for a while. "For when tribulation," which is mental pressure, "or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he," and this word offended, it's a word, we get the word scandal from it. It means he stumbles. He stumbles at it. He gets caught up in the mental pressure. See? He gets caught up in the persecution. And that's what he ends up looking at. Instead of God's word. Instead of what God's word says. He didn't build it. He didn't have root in himself. See? So he lost that joy. You know, these things that the world upchucks at us every day can steal that joy that we can have, that joy that we do have. Well, I might as well keep reading because it's pretty awesome. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, you know, the distractions, the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke or crowd out the word, and he becomes what?
Unfruitful.
See? He becomes unfruitful because the things of this world crowded out the word. See? Took precedence over the word with his focus, with his heart, with his thinking. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, he understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30. See, that doesn't matter, but it brings forth fruit. See? Because he stays put. We're going to stay in Matthew 13. I wanted to, just in light of what it is, it's in Matthew chapter 13. Oh, Lord. I've got to find the verse. Here it is. Got it. I wrote it backwards. Look at verse 44. Have you ever been in a situation where you are experiencing something and you're with a number of folks who are not experiencing that same thing? And they have a totally different perspective of what the outcome is going to be than you do. You know why that is? It's because you know something. You know something. See? You know where this is going to land. You see it. You realize. See? And joy many times is that. We just read it in the parable. You know, you see the word, you get it. See? And it's with joy, and then you stay put because you continue to look at it. And in situations, no matter the situations, when you grow in God's word, that joy doesn't go away. Because you know something. You know something about your God. You know something about what Jesus Christ has made you. You know something about the end of this thing. Do you understand? In verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. I love this. That which, when a man has found, he hides, and for the joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and what?
Buys
that field. Isn't that an incredible picture? It's like he found this treasure. It's like, whoa, I'm going to bury this, and then I'm going to buy the field. It's mine. I'll sell everything I got for this. It's just such a great picture. It's like that with the Word of God. See? All of a sudden, you realize, you know. See? And it's worth something. And the joy that brings. You see? Because you know something. And when others around you are uptight, when others around you are depressed or they're angry, man, you know something. You know something about your God. You know something about what he's made you. Isn't that cool? Let's turn to Luke. And we're just going to read some neat verses. This is, again, one of my favorite records in the Word. I've got a few. This is one. You guys know this record, but let's just read it. Chapter 2, verse 8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. They were in the same area as Mary and Joseph were. In the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of what?
Great
joy, which shall be to all people. What did the angel know? What did he know? What did he know that the shepherds didn't quite know yet? See, isn't that something? Joy to all people. You know, and then it's for unto you this day is born a Savior. Let's go to Luke 15. Luke 15. Another great record. All right, we're going to start in verse 4. Another parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? He leaves the 99, goes after the one. That's the picture that's being drawn here. And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That's our word, really. It's joy. He rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. See? Isn't that something? We're going to keep reading here. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? This is referring to that Oriental custom where the 10 pieces of silver is part of a wedding and it represented different things. And when you'd lose one, it would bring disgrace to the family, disgrace to the husband. So she would search diligently for that lost piece of silver. And when she's found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Pay attention to the words. There is joy in the presence of who? No, the angels of God. Who's rejoicing? No. Read it. There is joy in the presence of the angels of... Yes! God has joy. What does God know? See? He sees something where God himself joys in the presence of his angels that stand before him over one. Isn't that something? Let's go to John 16. Gospel of John 16. John 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, this is Jesus Christ speaking to his men, and this is a very heavy time. This is a very heavy time. This is the night when he'll give himself over to be crucified, to be tortured, and so on. And he's spending these several hours with these men, teaching them, instructing them, praying with them. And in verse 20, which is where I want to start, Jesus Christ to his men says, Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament. But the world shall rejoice. The world's going to have joy. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into what? What did he know? What did he know that they didn't quite see yet? A woman, when she is in travail, labor, when she's in labor, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Isn't that something? And what this means is that she doesn't look at this child and say, "Oh, the pain you caused me." No. It's like, oh. What's she thinking about? She's thinking about what she just went through? No. No. See, that's what she's looking at. Isn't that awesome? It's all forgotten. See? That joy. Really something. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And that joy, no one's going to take from you. Isn't that something? There's a record later on where he shows up in the resurrected body, and it says they couldn't speak because of the joy. I just smiled. Didn't have any words. Isn't that something? See, Jesus Christ knew. He knew. He knew something. And he knew that these men would know that too and have joy. Really something. Let's look at Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 15. I need to get scooting here. Romans 15. This is so awesome. Now the God of hope, he's the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in, and it should read, because in the Greek, the article's there, the believing. Joy and peace in the believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power, and it should read, from the Holy Spirit, referring to God, that you abound in hope and the power that comes from God. Isn't that something? But that joy and that peace is in what? Believing. It's in the believing. It's in the believing. And it's that believing, as opposed to, it's not just believing anything. It's that which God has been given to believe. That's what's being referred to here. Look at Romans 14. I'm going to back up a book. I probably should have read this first, but that's okay. Romans 14, 11. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God is very likely not in the texts. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And what we're going to read here, these are verses, they really just amount to walking in love. Not judging one another, but walking in love. And if you're going to judge anything, make sure that what you're doing isn't causing your brother problems. Right? I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now you're not walking charitably, or you're not walking in love. See? I don't take the stand that, well, it doesn't bother God any if I do this, if it bothers my brother. If it bothers my brother, it doesn't matter if it doesn't bother God. Right?
Right. That's kind of a poor translation. Anyway, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's not what this is about. It's not about what I eat or what I don't eat. It's not about what I do or what I don't do. You know, you got to toe the line in the name of Jesus. That's not what it's about. Isn't that neat? But here's what it's about: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this use of Holy Spirit is in that which God has given, that gift. It is joy in that which God has given. See? It's cool. So we have joy in the believing, understanding what this is really all about. See, it's about what God's done. It's about what God's given us because of what Jesus Christ did. There's no line to toe. Walk in love. Isn't that cool? Keep your eyes on God. And you'll be in situations in life. You'll be surrounded with situations. But you're gonna know something. You're going to know something. That's right. You're going to have your eyes on something else. And whatever that thing is, it ain't going to run you. It may affect some things. It may be tough. I understand that. But there can be an inner quietness, an inner determination. See? Because of what God has done and because of what God has made you. Let's go to Galatians 5, and then we're going to go really fast. But I really wanted to read this. Galatians chapter 5. All right, Galatians 5, we're going to start in verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and thou shalt not fulfill or carry out the desires of the flesh." Okay? Now, here's what the flesh wants. It desires against, or is contrary to what the Spirit desires. The Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are clear, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Woo-hoo. All right. Look at verse 22. Well, let's read. We'll finish reading that. "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what?" It's love. See? Now, all of us have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6 spells this out. That once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are none of these things that we just read about. But I have the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God desires. That Spirit of God works. God works in me to will and to do of what? That's right. And that's not conditional. It's not conditional. He works. So there are many times where we have choices. But when we choose to walk by that nature which God has given us because we believed on Jesus Christ, the fruit of that is much different. It's good stuff. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, believing, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See? And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts or desires. If we live in the Spirit or by means of the Spirit, let us also walk in or by means of that Spirit. See? We have the option as sons of God. We have that option. See, and joy is a fruit that is born because you are walking in that nature which you have born within. And that's something. It's pretty simple, really. It's pretty simple. You know, I've known people that are just, they're just negative. They're miserable. Have you? They bear fruit. Oh, man. It's a bummer. It's a bummer. But you and I have new life. And we know something. See, we can know some things. It's pretty awesome. Let's go to James chapter 1, and then we're going to close this thing up. James 1. James 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall or are encompassed about, or fall into or encompassed with diverse or many temptations. That's something. You count it joy. See, knowing this. See, you can do it because you know something. See, you know something. That the trying of your believing produces what?
Patience.
See? You know, ultimately, and we're going to look at this in a moment. Well, you know what? Let's look at it now. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to close in 1 Peter. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Jesus Christ our Lord was a man tempted in all points. Everything. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, or that entangling sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That race that is set before us. Now there's a picture being drawn here. At the end of a race is a finish line. At the end of a race is a goal. Right? Okay. Looking unto Jesus. This is how you run this thing. The author and finisher of our believing. Who for the what?
Joy.
That was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, or disregarding the shame is what it means, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him endured. Now, what did that look like? What did that look like? Well, in the garden, it looked like sweating blood. That's what it looked like. Many tears, crying, begging his father that if there's any other way to do this thing, let's do it. But there wasn't. There was no other way. See? So he did it. That's what joy looked like. Because he knew that his God was faithful. When the men came to get him, you know what joy looked like? It looked like him stepping forward and them falling to the ground and making sure his men were taken care of before he handed himself over. That's what it looked like. See? And he carried out every jot and tittle of God's word. Till he could get to the place where he said, I thirst. They gave him to drink and he said, it's finished, it's over. Nothing left. Boom. That's what joy looked like.
And he died knowing that his God would raise him up from the dead. Because he would be dead. No thoughts, no prayers, no thinking, no hoping, no anything. He absolutely had to rely on God. And God did get him up. Isn't that something? That's the joy that was set before him. You and I are building something too. And we have a great joy set before us. It's called our hope. And we're building toward that. That which I do, the time I spend in God's Word. It's not about works, it's about heart. I'm building something for all of eternity, and so are you. See, this is real. Jesus Christ is really coming back. Do you understand? I don't know how to say it any better. He's really coming back. And you know what? When he comes back to the earth, we're really going to be with him. That's going to really happen. We're going to be here on this earth. Isn't that incredible? It is really going to take place. See? The things that we read in God's Word are going to absolutely come to pass. Everything else has. So, we've got a hope. We're building toward that. See, when, you know, somebody made the statement to me, this life is inconsequential. Not true. This life is short, but not inconsequential. We're building something. See? And we do it with joy. See, because God, like we heard in Manifestations, has equipped us with everything we need. See? All right, let's close in 1 Peter. First Peter, oh, this is another favorite section of God's Word. Hey, you know, what do you do? All right, let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from the dead. See, the only escape from death is resurrection. If there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no escape from death. Man is destined to die, that's it. Nothing left. But there was a resurrection. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept, guarded, protect is what it means, by the power of God through believing unto or for a salvation, a deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, that's the living hope that we've been born again unto. Wherein you greatly rejoice. This is, the word joy comes from one of those grace words. It's charo. This is like exceeding joy. We could translate this like, you know, leaping for joy, or if you were texting, it would be J-O-Y in all caps, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. You know? Greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold many temptations. That's something. You know, there was grieving going on because of what these saints were having to do. But they still had what?
Joy.
They had joy. That's something. Because they knew something. That the trial, the putting to the test of your believing, being much more precious, it's worth more than gold that perisheth. This verse makes no sense if you don't know the hope. This verse doesn't make any sense if you don't believe Jesus Christ is coming back and that you're going to be with him. That's why the trying of your believing is worth much more than any amount of money that you could ever earn in this life. It doesn't even compare. It's inconsequential. Because we are building toward eternity. See that? And it is sure. It is steadfast. The trial or the putting to the test of your believing being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. My God, it's so awesome. That which I build would be honored by Jesus Christ. That he would praise. Isn't that incredible? I don't even know what to say to that. Whom? Jesus Christ. Having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end or the result of your believing, the deliverance of your lives, of your souls. Isn't that beautiful? Something. That's the hope that's been set before us. That's what we know. When the rest of the world is going crazy, they're angry, they're depressed, they're upset, they're full of fear, they're scared, you know something. You know something. And you know what people are going to do? They're going to ask you a reason for the hope that's in you. Because you know something. See? And you're not going down that road. Isn't that awesome? Knowing that you're building for the return of your Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, that's what we help one another to do. I think it's pretty awesome. So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.